Greetings from Pastor Joel at Heart City Church. Welcome to Happy and Whole in Him, 5 minutes with Jesus. We've been focusing this week on what steals our joy, how Satan seeks to lead us away from God by turning us to earthly idols. And to counter the lies of the most miserable one to ever walk the earth, we need to take in the truth of the happiest one to ever walk the earth, Jesus Christ. And he says in Matthew 10:37, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Jesus is asking you to entertain the distinct possibility that love for family is stealing you away from him. Jesus is saying that you must love no one above him. Now, Jesus isn't saying that family relationships aren't good or important, but they cannot be ultimate. If you want to be his disciple, you cannot put family in the place of God. Ray Ortlund says, "Accepting Jesus does not just mean adding Jesus, but subtracting idols." Now, we know we were made for relationships. God did not create man and say, "I'm all you ever need," even though that is correct. But God created us for relationships because it would bring us more joy. Why? Because the more like the happy God we are, the more happy we are. And our God is three persons in unity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So our families are gifts from God to make us happy, and one of the greatest goods we can experience here. Which is why the devil, the joy stealer, especially likes to twist this. Because the greater the potential for joy, the more misery it brings when misused. In saying that we must love him more, Jesus turns us from the lie that people can fill the God-sized desire in our hearts that only he can fill. When we place God-sized expectations on our children or parents, we damage both them and ourselves because they cannot fill the void that only God can. And believing the lie just comes so naturally, doesn't it? I remember thinking the world of my dad as a child, boasting to young friends about things I believed he could do that he couldn't, and I ended up being disappointed. Now, we can laugh because our parents are like gods to us when we're small, but apart from God's grace, we don't stop doing it. Who remembers that teenage crush that devastated us? The person we married who was unable to bear the weight of our expectations? The kids we doted on and made the center of our lives, slowing their development, who later got into trouble because of our actions? Or maybe not, but we worried nonstop anyways because they had become the center of our lives. Do you know anyone who simply gave up all hope on relationships after being let down again and again? The best thing we can do for others is love Jesus more, first and foremost. I saw this in a seminary professor who never married, but simply lived to show people Jesus. Now, obviously we can all be celibate, but we can all learn to love Jesus more and for the sake of others. When we love Jesus most, we turn our kids' eyes to the one person whose excellence is unmatched, who can offer them more than anyone else in this world, and is more ready to receive them than they are to come, and who will never let them down like we will, despite all we do not to. Christ alone can meet their needs in all stages of life. He can sympathize with all their sorrows, understands all their temptations, and he delights in their forever happiness, which is why he went to the cross. Jonathan Edwards once told a group of children in a sermon, "There is no love so great and so wonderful as that which is in the heart of Christ." We woo young hearts to unparalleled beauty, the most understanding and accessible heart in the whole universe. And we do the same for our spouses, because marriage isn't forever, Mark 12:25. And I'll admit this is hard for me after 13 years of being married to Jamie. I struggle to believe Jesus when he tells me glory will be better, yet I will no longer be married to this woman I love so much. Part of me wants to say, "Jesus, what's the point of marriage then?" Actually, marriage is the whole point. When we're in glory, we will no longer need the copy. We'll have the original. Our love, our longing for intimate union with another, is a God-given homing beacon, meant to show you how much you need and can only find your rest in Jesus. Your marriage, is supposed to simply be a good sermon on earth. Ephesians 5 tells us this profound mystery of how a man and wife coming together is simply pointing us to Christ and the church. So heed Jesus' call today to love him more, and you'll find folks won't let you down as much when they do let you down. And in turn, you will love others better. And we'll see the joy of Jesus beginning to permeate our world more and more, joy that will just make you love him all the more. Remember who you are and who you belong to. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing true beauty come to earth. Forgive us for believing the lies of the joy stealer and making good relationships ultimate. Open our ears this day to hear your call. Open our eyes to see how you're at work in others' lives, and open our hearts to love you more. Amen.